current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology,
wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, August 30th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us for the next hour as we dive into news headlines and things of interest happening around the world and what God's prophetic word has to say about it. Pastor Mark, it's a beautiful day outside.
It is a beautiful day here, but stormy on the ocean.
Stormy on the ocean, and we are going to talk about that today along with many other things. This is episode 93 for the podcasters. If you've got a prophecy question or a comment for the show, you can always reach us through our show website. That's thesigns.org. Or if you're on Twitter, you can reach us at prophecyhelp. And also on our Twitter page, we carry a lot of feeds from a lot of the news sources that we talk about on this program that you can follow throughout the week. We've also have other news sources on our website from our friends over at watch.org, which no doubt Bill Koenig and the boys over there at watch.org are watching the storm coming through Florida, and as they always do, combing through the news to see if there's anything related to it. I know that we talked before the show, you may or may not have some things related to it yet that we don't know, but a lot of times we don't find out until after the fact.
Yep.
Also, too, so we'll just have to see what happens there. So, anyway, this past week, just a couple of things this past week, Pastor Mark, I don't know how much you get into church history of various things, but I don't know if you've ever heard of Pierre Verret.
No, I haven't.
The forgotten reformer of the Protestant Reformation.
Well, he's forgotten. That's why
forgotten. That's why he was exiled from France in 1565 this past week, this past Tuesday. He was friends with John Calvin, according to this.
Whoa.
And then Andrew Bonar, born in 1810 this past Thursday, known as the leader of the awakening in Scotland, called the Kilseth Revival.
Hmm.
Andrew said his secret to success was that he lived in prayer.
Wow. Wow, so that's great. Facts.
That's a good success story.
It really is, you know, and just getting facts like that, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
so,
very interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
And something that you would personally find interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know that you're a dog person and you have a little dog, Dixie.
I do.
The United States has the highest pet dog population in the world, approximately 75.8 million.
Wow.
You know the most popular breed?
I know what I hope it is, but no, what is it?
No, it's not Dachshund.
Ah, that's what I was hoping.
Sorry, it's Labrador.
So, like, yeah, that would be. I could see that. Sweet family dog, so to speak, although I'm kind of partial to Dachshunds because that's what I have.
But, that's right. That's right.
I call her the Beast of the Mark.
The Beast of the Mark.
Because I'm a prophecy guy. But that's right. Anyway.
Anyway. Well, we did say that here in Knoxville, it is a beautiful day on this Friday.
Yeah.
Florida is preparing for something quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the weather and what God's Word has to say about the weather or about our climate.
Yeah.
From a prophetic standpoint.
Yeah.
Because it's important to make the connection between the news and the rhetoric we hear in the world today regarding climate change.
Right.
And God addresses climate change.
Yes, he does.
In a prophetic way.
He does. He addresses even larger climate change as a part of it. Environmental change. Yeah. Everything is all in there. And I think it's good for us to have an understanding because it's interesting. We know this whole thing. The world's going to tell you all these earthly reasons that all these things are happening. We are seeing more bizarre things happening, and we will continue to see more bizarre things happen. But we do have a biblical understanding of them, but they're not what the world thinks or the way the world views it. And as you know, Greg, everybody talks about, as you said, climate change or global warming. The global warming thing is fading only because every time they do a new study, the science shows we're really not getting warmer. As a matter of fact, another one came out this week. Maybe I saw it in the news today. I think it was on Fox News. A brand new study that was done from 05 until now. So about, what, 14 years or so. And they said that the Earth's temperature had not changed any at all in the last 14 years. It's exactly the same. And
so is that going to be climate stagnation?
I don't know. And even if you go back farther than that, they say there hasn't really been any change. Although people say there has, when you look at the science, there really hadn't been a change in that. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have weird things going on. But the bottom line is...
And the Bible says that weird things are going
to
go on.
Yeah, but we need to understand it's not mankind and our actions as far as our vehicles and our driving and our flights and what we, you know... grow in the garden or don't grow in the garden or what people smoke or fires we do. That's not what's affecting the environment. That's been going on since the beginning of mankind. Now, not jets and all that, but yeah. All the other burning of fires and all this. And,
right.
And you know, there's this big thing now with the Amazon thing, which we'll get into,
the Amazon fire. Yep.
But the bottom line is that the Bible says that the earth, when man sinned, the earth was cursed. And so the earth started a process of consequences. And the environment was included in that. And that process of consequences, the earth is now wanting out. The earth itself, the Bible says, wants this to end. And the scripture that I have here is out of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 19. Listen to this. For the earnest expectation of the creation. Isn't that interesting to think that the creation has an earnest expectation? Again, there's something alive about this creation that we don't fully understand, more than just the greenery of it. But we'll know then. I'm not giving a personification to it, but it is interesting the way the Bible talks about creation. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That is when Jesus comes back and all of his children are finally revealed that we are the ones that will be ruling and reigning on the earth. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, Jesus, who subjected it, in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, when we are revealed, when God reveals and comes back in his second coming, and we are shown in our glory, and we're restored, the earth will be restored as well. The earth will finally be set free from its bondage due to sin. And so the earth is groaning right now because it's in that sin. And when I groan, all you hear is somebody groaning and maybe somebody grumpy. When the earth groans, everything shakes and trees fall over and
yes.
Places flood. You know, they've got a lot bigger groaning for something to groan here.
Right.
But listen what it says, Greg, verse 22. For we know the entire creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption and the redemption of the body. So the bottom line is that even as we are saying, Lord, come back, we want to be with you. The earth is going. The earth is, Lord, come back. We're hurting here. We're groaning. Everything's a mess. Come back and fix us.
You know, and we've talked about God's creation and how amazing it is when we get into the study of the various things. And it gets exciting. We want to praise our Lord.
Right.
Because he's a wonderful creator.
Right.
But you bring up an interesting point as you read the scripture regarding a consciousness, if you will, about God's creation.
Yeah.
So do you think it's possible that the living things that God has created, to some extent of which we don't know how, but to some extent has a consciousness only so far as to be able to relate to or communicate with or be one with its creator? I mean, I know a lot of people worship the earth, and maybe that's what the vibe or whatever that they pick up from that. Who knows? But from God's context, he created it all. Wouldn't it be expected to some extent that the creation would know him, especially when you read scripture like that?
Yeah, and it's different to admire God's creation and worship it.
So
there's nothing wrong in
true.
Recognizing
exactly.
This is amazing, but we don't worship it. And you may be onto something, Greg, as far as people actually turning their worship to it, because here's what we do know. The limited science that we do have, we can now actually hook certain plants up to machines that register responses and activity. And
that is pretty wild.
It is. And we find that plants that are talked to kindly and encouraged respond and actually grow better than plants that don't. Now, that is really bizarre to me. In other words, be nice to your garden. You know, right. Your flowers, you know, be nice to your flowers. Be nice. I'm not saying get weird. You know,
or play music.
You know, you can get weird and your neighbors go, he's talking to his plants again, Helen. You know, they say, yes. I knew it. This guy's a nut. But there is something beyond what we recognize and understand. There is, I think, probably a connection to God, the creator, that the creation has that we don't know. You know, one of the things I've always noticed, you talked about dogs and that stat you gave about the dogs in America and all that kind of thing. When I look at dogs, oftentimes, I think, you know what? This is really something that God has given who understands. They understand submission and their proper place. And they truly submit to man and take their proper role in a way that is it has to be designed. I mean, they're so selfless. You think about a dog. You can yell at a dog and even people that hurt their dogs and how sad that is. But they will still love their master and wag their tail and submit to them, sometimes out of fear. But at the same time, there seems to be this understanding that they're in this place and mankind's in another place, and they're so forgiving. They don't, you know, animals don't hold a grudge typically. You don't see animals typically holding a grudge. I think they can be scared of certain people if they've been abused or yelled at.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, creation itself seems to reflect the glory of God if you know what you're looking for and you watch. So I don't, you know, again, not to be weird,
no.
But there is something there.
No.
Now, as far as the groaning goes.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing that right now in what everybody's calling climate change. The earth is groaning. You're going to see more and more groaning as we move further down the road. And I think you're seeing groaning right now with Hurricane Dorian off our coast. It's the earth groaning for the return of the Lord. It doesn't always necessarily mean God's doing something. It's just the result of this fallen world.
Now, let's give a qualification to something that you just said, because in case there's somebody listening.
Right.
And they were paying attention to what you shared, Paul's words.
Right.
From Rome.
Right.
Because in Paul's day, think about what Paul was saying.
Yeah.
Now, what Paul's statement definitely applies to today, but Paul was speaking of that time right then when he was writing about the groaning of the earth and expecting the Lord's return.
Right.
Even at that time.
Yeah.
But the Bible gives a qualifier between the groanings of Paul's day and the prophetic groanings that are now happening.
Yeah.
And the difference between the two that Jesus gives us in Matthew.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we're seeing them increase, you know, the prophetic groanings.
Exponentially.
Oh, yeah. And so that's why I say, again, you're going to see more and more. And here's what the world's going to do. And this is why I want the church to be educated on this. Here's what the world's going to do. The world's going to blame it more and more on man for all the things men are driving and flying. But that's not what the Bible says. And we were talking about this right before the show. It's not man's thing he's driving or flying or burning in his backyard that's hurting our environment. It is the sin of mankind. You know, we talked about a carbon footprint. You said, Greg, a sin footprint. That's exactly right. What we see is a sin footprint that man has left on the earth. And because of the sin footprint, the earth is groaning and the earth is cursed. And so is mankind causing the environment to go crazy? Yes. But it has nothing to do with carbon or planes or cars or fires or what we grow or don't grow or animals and, you know, what, you know, these kind of things. It has to do with mankind's sin. And so now the earth is suffering the consequences of our sin and it's groaning. And as we talked about, even in that passage, he brought it up again. It's like a woman having birth pangs. They're going to be more frequent. They're going to be more chaotic. They're going to be more concerning. They're going to be stronger. And for all of you that have been through the birth of a child out there, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I've done this 4 times with my wife, and it is not a fun thing to watch or be a part of. It's what a blessing to have children. But to watch what our wives go through, the contractions on the normal basis, getting faster, getting harder, seeing the pain that your wife's in. Well, think about the earth. It's in pain.
Yeah.
It's groaning. It's contracting. There's going to be earthquakes and volcanoes. There's going to be hurricanes as the environment is stirred. And you say, well, these things have always been there. Yeah, because the earth has always been cursed since the very beginning. So, yeah, they've always been there. Listen, had Adam and Eve not fallen in the garden, I don't think we'd ever seen a hurricane or earthquake. I don't believe that. I don't think there'd been a volcano eruption.
The climate would be quite different because the Bible describes a completely different climate during that time in Genesis.
But now because we have the sin footprint, we're seeing an earth groaning and an earth, you know, doing all these things. And so, again, we need to understand that as a church. Now, let me say something else. I don't think that we as a church need to fight to prove that climate change is not true. I know there are people out there doing that. That shouldn't be an issue for us. It's not the issue of whether or not climate change is true. If the issue is, look, the reason our environment is groaning is because we've sinned. So the answer is not change, have the EPA change things. The answer is repentance. We need to be saying, if you want the earth to do better, repent. And then God will hold things at bay because he's blessing us. Let the earth groan. It will continue to groan, but God will give, you know, if you will, we'll have a spiritual epidural to take away some of the pain until the birth of Jesus Christ and the new kingdom.
Yeah. You know, and that's a good reminder for Christians. You know, for those of you that believe what the Bible teaches in terms of God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke all things into existence, just as it says in Genesis. But then we forget about that when we're assaulted with the world's news about climate change and completely forgetting the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who is sovereign over all things, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Does he not still have all of those attributes of his sovereignty to control the climate?
That's right. That's
he
right.
He does.
And you know, it's interesting, Greg, you brought up Revelation 6. It might be good to touch on a couple of verses
absolutely.
Here.
You know,
it's interesting. Here's where it's going to culminate. Okay, where's the whole climate change thing going to culminate? Well, we're going to say, where's the sin footprint, earth groaning, which the world would say man-caused carbon footprint? Where's that going to end? We know the Bible says it's a sin footprint caused by the sin of man. Where's it going to end? Well, we see in Revelation chapter 6, the seals being opened. And, of course, you also have the bowls and the trumpets. And all of these things are going to be these devastating things to the earth.
Yeah, if you think it's bad now,
this is fantastic.
And
I'll touch on a couple of here. But the bottom line is you're going to see really everything. I mean, the Bible talks about the majority of all the green on the earth burned up. If you love green, it's going to be gone. All the trees burned up. All these things happening. And it's God that's doing it. God's doing it in Revelation. And man's not doing it. God is.
It's a third, right? A third of the forest?
Yes. And it's a judgment of God on mankind for rejecting Jesus Christ. And it's also the earth groaning, if you will. The Bible talks about famines. He says he'll pour out, break one of the seals, and a quart of wheat will be sold for a denarii, three quarts of barley for a denarii. The bottom line is it's going to be very expensive to get food. That would indicate famine, which you know is going to happen. It says he opened up the fourth seal and death came upon the earth, and a fourth of the earth was given over to be put to death. And again, these are devastations coming through the judgment of God. Then he goes on and talks about, he opened the sixth seal. The fifth one is where he protects the saints and in heaven encourages the saints. The sixth seal, he says, behold, a great earthquake. And look at this. The sun became black as sackcloth, as hair, and the moon became as blood. Even now they're saying, Greg, these fires in the Amazon, they're saying that the sun and the moon, they're just like, they look eerie because everything's darkened and tainted. So it gives a picture of all these fires on the earth. It gives a picture of, you know, when volcanoes spew around the earth, filling the atmosphere, a third of the sun will be blocked, a third of the stars, a third of the moon.
A preview of coming attractions.
It really is. Yeah. And this is the earth groaning. This is not something man has done. Listen, it's except sin.
Yeah.
Man did cause this by sin. But it's not going to be fixed by government regulations. It's not going to be fixed by the Green New Deal. It's not going to be fixed by France agreements and treaties. It will not be fixed. Let me just say that. No matter what we do governmentally around the world, it will not be fixed. It's going to continue to groan. It's going to continue to get worse. And it will culminate in these bowls and seals and trumpets. And finally, the ultimate culmination of Jesus Christ being born into the earth, so to speak, and coming and taking the planet and restoring it. And then he'll restore mankind, those who know him, and he'll restore all the earth, the oceans, the trees. It'll be beautiful again, restored by the Lord. So he's going to take care of all that. That doesn't mean we're not stewards on the way, but I'm just saying it's frustrating to me knowing what the Bible says.
Yeah.
To watch the world focus so much on this. And if we enter into a climate change debate with the world from the pulpit or from the radio and just talking about how it's not real, whatever, look, maybe we'll have some real good points. Maybe we can point to science and say, look, it hadn't heated up in 20, 25 years. Everything's the same. And you can make those arguments, but I don't think that's going to change anybody because they're not thinking spiritually. They're winning their political argument. What we have to do is say, yes, things are radically changing on the earth, but it's because of the sin of mankind. And the answer is turning to God and repenting. And that's where our focus has got to be.
Yeah. You know, a lot of these things, climate change, the one world economy, all the things that the Bible says that are going to be a problem that are going to seemingly be solved by the Antichrist.
Right.
You know, all those things are cobwebs. So arguing against a cobweb is not going to help, but the spider that created all the cobwebs is our sin.
Yeah.
It's our it's the world's rejection of Jesus as Lord, and that they're going to go their own way, and God has been long-suffering, but the Bible says that that long-suffering is going to come to an end.
It will. It will. I mean, again, America is going to be judged like every other place in the world, Greg, at some point.
Yeah.
But it can be delayed.
Yes.
And it can be delayed by our repentance. If we honor God and we repent, you look at when God brought judgments, talking to the kings, and he said, because you've done this, your enemies are going to destroy Israel. He said, however, not in your days. It'll be the next generation.
Yeah.
Now, why did God do that? I don't know. Maybe there were people there repenting. Maybe there was God knew the timing. But I do see that God does delay these judgments. And the reason I say that is because America has to be judged. We have to be judged for the abortion, the murder, the rapes, all these things. God can't let this go. It's only paid for through the cross. And not everybody in America is going to the cross, which means he has to judge it at some point. So we don't know when that is. But I know by honoring God and by righteousness, we can delay that judgment. You know, it's interesting. It might even be all delayed until that final culmination. One of the things, Greg, is we watch the earth groaning. At the same time, we see the entire earth uniting in the way the Bible says in Revelation. There's another storm brewing, and that is of the Antichrist coming on the scene. And again, we mentioned this briefly before the show, and I want to make just a mention of this in the first half as well. And that is I'm seeing more and more of really the entire world now. Think about this. I think it happened so slowly we didn't recognize it. But Greg, for the most part, and I will say for all the major nations besides America and our current leadership, even America's on board really, but the current leadership, the entire world is united together in this whole climate green thing and the unity of a one world government. And even now, you know, the more and more talk about how we have to have the unity in a one world religion so we all get along. That wasn't that way when I was a kid.
No, not at
all. This has happened gradually yet fast. Yeah. And now we see literally. The United States of America and our leader is the only thing, and I know it's the Holy Spirit. Let's just put a disclaimer. We know it's God. I know it's the Holy Spirit. But God, through the Holy Spirit, is using our president and this nation right now, no matter what you think about the president, that's not the issue. He's using our president and this nation to hold back the floodwaters of a one-world climate unification, which will lead to a one-world government, which will lead to a one world economy, which will lead to a one world religion. This is all happening right now. And the only thing holding it back is the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to watch America is the tool that he's using to hold that back. And as I've been saying, and I'll say it again, if anything changes that election time, if President Trump doesn't win this next election and somebody gets in who's very in tune with where the world is going, Greg, this could happen so fast. I'm talking, let's do it now. Everybody join before another Donald Trump gets in office.
Yeah.
They're going to nail this thing down. They're going to solidify it. And then all that has to happen is the Ezekiel war, Russia and Iran attacking Israel, God again intervening, pouring out a spirit on the nation of Israel. Sometime around there, the rapture takes place.
Yeah.
And we have this final 7 years on the earth with real groanings, real earth groanings before Jesus comes back. And then the Lord comes back and we're out of here first. And then we come back and it's a major heavenly party on earth. I can't wait.
Now, we know in God's word, we've got prophetic milestones, such as the battle depicted in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Antichrist coming on the scene and signing a peace treaty, the great tribulation period, the midway point in the tribulation period.
Right.
There's prophetic milestones in the Bible, but then there's a lot of prophetic things that the Bible says that will be happening in more of a continual basis.
Yeah.
And those are the prophecies or the prophetic things that we find weaving one into the other. So I'll give you an example. Here we're talking about climate change, but the acceptance of climate change and the need to combat that.
Right.
And let's talk about the church for a moment. Let's talk about the world. We know the world is going to buy into that because the world, we know this about ourselves. If we're not worshiping the one true living God, we're going to worship something or someone. And climate change is going to be a thing that will be worshiped because of the earth.
Right.
But when the church seemingly gets behind that, that opens up the other prophetic thing, and that is church apostasy or falling away.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten our eyes off of what we just read from Scripture.
Right.
So let's talk about that for a minute.
I think that's a great point to make. And Greg, I think oftentimes what happens, I think the well-meaning church people and maybe well-meaning pastors, you know, look, we don't want to stand up there and say, forget the environment, trash it. And we're going to say that.
Absolutely not.
So in trying to kind of go along with the world and maybe reach them where they are, maybe you reach out to appeal to them and say, yeah, we should be taking care of the environment. That's a true statement. Anybody that's responsible should take care of something God gave them. And he gave us the earth. Let's take care of it. But then it starts going farther and farther. And then you have those that really get into the whole thing. And it becomes worship of the environment. Yeah. You know, and Greg, you've got these false pastors and false teachers. Yeah. Again, I saw in the news today, they're literally going, this one, not the first time it's happened, this group of so-called pastors praying at an abortion clinic for God's blessing in the abortion room. If God blesses that abortion room, it will be destroyed.
Yeah.
That would be God's blessing, that it would be destroyed. So you're praying for God to destroy that room and everything that's going on with that.
Yeah.
But again, it's this whole mindset. You have false teachers, false pastors, people that don't know God, supposedly speaking for God, and they start getting into the environmental issues and the climate and green stuff. So we need a balance. We need a balance. Take care of the environment, but don't get sucked up in this whole world system of worshiping of the environment.
Well, wouldn't you say too, Pastor Mark, that when we approach any of these things, we have to have the precept of, okay, in this situation, what is my responsibility versus God's sovereignty?
That's
because
right.
A lot of time I think man
I got you.
Takes on more than what they're supposed to. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, maybe you're trying to hit me that to begin with.
Okay. No, that's
so I didn't catch that till now.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of it. But you're exactly right. And I like to say this. Look, the owner's in charge of the aquarium, not the fish. The owner's in charge of the aquarium, not the fish. The fish can only do so much. You can get these little algae eaters that'll suck on the side of the tank and you can do whatever. But you know what? If the owner doesn't make sure that the water's clean, that things aren't changed, then there's nothing you can do inside that tank that's going to change it. We are inside of a giant fish tank called the earth and its atmosphere. And that doesn't mean that we don't have some algae suckers that go around, you know, trying to, you know, help, you know, pick up trash on the road, so to speak, if
we use
the analogy.
Right.
And we watch that, you know, maybe are polluting and we try to have all the right things. But God is the one that holds the earth together. He's the one that keeps our air clear. He's the one that's going to protect our water. It's up to him to keep the aquarium functioning until we go to be with him or he comes back.
Right. And that doesn't mean, again, the balance and man's responsibility. It doesn't mean that we can't do a better job in terms of curbing pollution or recycling or doing things that have a tangible thing that's within our control to do.
Right.
I think there's nothing wrong with recycling. Okay. That's good stewardship of what you've created.
I ride my bike over and over again.
That's right. Recycling. Oh,
sorry.
You know what that deserves?
Okay,
that deserves a rim shot.
Sorry.
Anyway, but that's the balance in that. But to think that somehow that we can change atmospheric conditions, can we clean up the air in terms of pollution things and stuff? Yes, we can.
Sure, to a degree,
but
absolutely.
To a degree, we can. And yes, we all want to breathe clean air. Clean air is good. But there is a limit to what we can do, and there's a limit to what our impact is, no matter how clean we try to be.
That's right. It really is. And what's interesting, another study just today, Greg, our air now that we started measuring our air quality nationwide.
Yes.
In America, back in the 70s, I think it's when the last study that I know of.
Let me guess, it's gotten worse.
No, 70% cleaner now.
Oh, wow. Very good.
We now have 70% cleaner air from the 70s. Now, again, we're still driving cars. We're still flying planes. It's just been a matter of you know, and I'm not saying that maybe some of, you know, certain things didn't help some in the way that we produce things. The point is, God is in control of this. He's the one that's in control. We're not. And I almost see a certain level of arrogance to think that we could control it. But here's the final thing
that's
before
true.
We finish this in. I believe, Greg, that, you know, Satan has to use something to unite the world. We have to be united. And we have to remove those that are in the way that are blocking things. So President Trump's got to go, and probably the American Constitution has got to go. And then there's got to be something that unites everyone. And this global issue is very clearly doing that. And I will say this as a side note quickly. We've talked about it in the past in uniting the world. Keep watching what's going on in Europe with this Brexit stuff, because I believe you're looking at Daniel chapter 2 with the 10 toes of iron and clay. This whole thing of trying to force Britain into a mold over there that they don't want to be in, and they eventually will be forced in. Now, I'm anxious to see how this works out. Will they absolutely exit and then later on be forced back in, or will some kind of agreement be made where they aren't really allowed to exit and they're now forced to conform now? But let me tell you this. They are going to conform to the European Union. It will happen, whether they get a breakdown and get pushed back in, or whether somebody stops it, because the 10 toes are made of iron and clay, showing part of them want to be there, part of them don't, but you better fit the mold if you're going to fit in.
And eventually, all the 10 toes are going to come together. The question is that where will we be?
That's right.
When those 10 toes are finally formed
right.
and identified?
That's anyway, right.
Maybe we'll talk about that in a future show. But we've got lots of articles to get to in the second half, so don't go anywhere. Signs of the Times continues right after Israel in the news.
WIAM-LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. Palestinian terrorists from Gaza launched three missiles into Israel Sunday evening during an outdoor concert in Sderot, sending thousands of attendees rushing to bomb shelters. According to the Times of Israel, the Israeli Iron Dome system intercepted two of the missiles, while a third landed in the middle of a highway. Minor injuries were reported among the 4,000 spectators, while minimal fire and shrapnel damage was sustained to the surrounding areas. The Lebanese militant group Hezbollah is vowing to retaliate against Israel, this after strikes over the weekend killed two Hezbollah fighters in an Iranian stronghold in Syria. Fox's Trey Yingst has more.
Israel struck an Iranian cell in Syria that was allegedly preparing to launch a drone attack against the country. Less than an hour after the strike, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tweeted, quote, "Iran has no immunity anywhere. Our forces operate in every sector against the Iranian aggression. If someone rises up to kill you, kill him first." In the past week, Israel has reportedly targeted Iranian proxies and weapons smuggling routes with drone strikes in Iraq and an airstrike in Syria.
The Israeli military has deployed an additional Iron Dome missile defense system on the border of Lebanon, Israel, and Syria in the event that a missile is launched into Israel. Meanwhile, the political climate remains fragile between the U.S. and Iran.
A political stalemate between the Americans and Iranians continues as President Trump says he is open to talks, but Iranian President Hassan Rouhani says sanctions would first have to be lifted. September 6th is the next deadline put forth by Tehran to break yet another commitment. Already this year, the Iranians have surpassed the uranium enrichment and stockpile limits laid out in the agreement. In Jerusalem, Trey Yingst, Fox News.
White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley spoke on Fox's America's Newsroom this week in regard to President Trump's firm stance on Iranian peace talks.
He's always willing to talk to people, but sanctions are not going to be lifted at this time because we have to make sure they come to the table understanding their economy is crippling, their potential is great, but they have to stop what they're doing across the globe.
Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez is traveling to Israel for the inauguration of a diplomatic trade office in Jerusalem on Sunday. According to the Times of Israel, Hernandez said in a statement on Tuesday, quote, "For me, it's the recognition that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel." This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Let us bring your prayer request to the holiest site in Israel, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Submit your prayer today at israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to Signs of the Times. It's Friday, August 30th, 2019. Episode 93 for the podcast. Love our podcasters. Make sure you're sharing that podcast, too, by the way. With those that need to hear what we're talking about, you can use prophecy as an evangelistic tool. Because the stuff we're talking about is stuff that's in the news. Everyone sees it.
Yeah.
Most people watch the news. They read news articles. They want to know what's going on. But what they don't know is what God's word has to say about that
news.
That's
right.
And that's where you come in by sharing this program as we put it out there on Apple iTunes and Google Play. And I think we're now, I think as of today, we're on TuneIn. .com, the TuneIn radio app.
That's cool.
For Signs of the Times, not only the radio station, but Signs of the Times is the prophecy show. The podcast is available on there. And we're working on some other outlets as well, just to make it more available, more accessible, trying to meet people where they're at with the prophetic good news of God. And that is that there's a lot of bad things happening. But the good news is that you can escape those bad things by giving your life to Jesus.
Yeah, well, again, that's just great. Exciting to hear all the things that are happening out there. You know, the more we get the word out, and really, it's understanding. We want our people to have understanding, Greg, that biblical perspective. And so it's a, it's exciting to be able to do this.
It is.
I truly enjoy it.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
And we're speaking of good news, we're going to have a good news story at the end of this program. As long as we get through these articles first. And we're going to stop by Israel to take a look at a couple of things. If you were listening to Israel in the news, some of these things they were talking about, and that is... Israel hits Iranian force in Syria to stop killer drones and the IDF on high alert in the north after alleged strikes in Lebanon. So that continues to stay hot in that area.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we were talking to him right before we started, Greg, about what's going on in Syria and just the it is just a hot button area, the killer drones and all this stuff that's going on. I mean, in Jerusalem, it says Israeli aircraft on Saturday struck Iranian forces near Damascus. Again, notice Israel's going into Syria, still striking, and even into Iraq, as we'll see, that have been planning to launch killer drones. Sounds like a movie, killer drones.
It sure does.
At targets in Israel, as Israeli military spokesman has said, the strike targeted Iranian Quds Force operatives, that's kind of like their elite forces, Shiite militias, which are preparing to advance attack plans targeting sites in Israel from within Syria in just a number of days. They knew it was coming. They came in and boom, boom, boom. The elite Quds Force is the overseas arm of the Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Israeli military spokesman Jonathan Conricus told reporters that forces on Thursday had been preparing to launch killer drones armed with explosives at northern Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the military had thwarted the planned attack. Iran, and I quote, "Iran has no immunity anywhere. Our forces operate in every sector against Iranian aggression." And Greg, they did that. They've been striking in Syria.
Yep.
They just struck in Iran. They're blowing things up. And they're not afraid to say it's us. I mean, they used to hide all that, but now some of them are saying, yeah, we went in and we did that because they have proven that these are things that are planned to come and attack them. And so it's a preemptive. They know the attack's coming. And it's interesting. The intelligence is such, Greg, that not only America has said, we have no problem with you going into Iraq and striking. We have no problem with you going to Syria. We would expect America to give them that freedom to protect themselves. Even Russia, when they saw the intelligence, Russia said, okay, you can come into Syria on surgical strikes. Just don't hit around us. Don't hurt our plans. And you can also go into Iraq. No problem with that. And even Lebanon, they're striking Lebanon. Russia and America said, look, Netanyahu, go for it because we see what's going on here. That's amazing to me.
Russia is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because we've covered news stories, Pastor Mark, where Russia is saying, hey, listen, Iran's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Russia's like, all right, you can hit Iran.
Well, again, but
it's
but
so
it's
bizarre.
Not, well, it's not just you can go in and destroy the Iranian forces.
I know.
You can hit a particular operation where you know you're threatened.
But still, this is a prophecy soap opera that you're watching.
Yes.
The weird relationships and things.
Yes.
It's just
the prophetic world turns.
I like that.
There it is. We need some kind of theme music. What would it be? It's like, you know.
Boy.
I don't know what could that be. Yeah, well, that's
maybe one.
That'd be a theme song. It's okay. We'll work on that. That would not work. You know, maybe,
all right.
You know,
okay. All right. All right. Anyway, your next article.
Focused.
Yes, that's okay.
Again, the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, on high alert in north after alleged strikes in Lebanon.
So it's all over the place.
Yes, it is. Listen to this. Arab media reported last night that the IDF struck a Palestinian terrorist base in Bekaa Valley in eastern Lebanon. That's on their north. Near the border of Syria, just the northern border of Syria, rather than the eastern border of Syria, where most of the action's been happening. The targeted base belonged to the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine. And so they, of course, support Bashar al-Assad. A spokesman of the group told Al Hadath News that the Israeli bombing in Bekaa did not achieve its objectives. Well, Israel's saying, yep, we did. We achieved every single objective we wanted. We took out the targets that we wanted. It's a done deal. But, of course, they're not going to admit that.
Of course not.
On Saturday night, Israel attacked the Iranian military targets in Syria, preventing an attack. They're not the aggressors. They're stopping the attack of Iranian drones armed with explosives. The sites were part of an Iranian-backed al-Quds force. Again, we talked about this in the last article. Qassam Soleimani, commander of the Quds Force, tweeted, "These insane operations will surely be the last steps in the Zionist regime." Now, I have news for you. The Bible says you're the one going down. God's going to protect Israel. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah gave a televised speech on Sunday in which he threatened Israel with reprisals. IDF forces in the north have reportedly been put on high alert, and Prime Minister Netanyahu expressed a resolve to deal with any threat. So, again, Israel's going to be protected. God's going to protect them. They will be invaded at some point, but God's going to protect the nation of Israel. And, you know, Greg, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't even say really anywhere that there'll be a Palestinian state. It says that the land will be divided, but it doesn't even say there'll be a Palestinian state. So here are all these talks. How is this going to happen? Will it be something that's a Palestinian state? It may just be a dividing of the land, and who knows what it's going to be. But either way, God says he will protect them till he comes back. There will be interventions, wars, some dividing, but they're not going down. They're going to be fine.
You know, we've probably talked about this before, but just a point of clarification. We know that Ezekiel 42 talks about the dividing of the Temple Mount.
Yes.
From what the Bible says, from the profane, from the unprofane.
That's right. That's right.
But does it expand that the city will become divided, or is it just the Temple Mount divided?
You know, it does say, I believe, the city will be divided, okay, but not necessarily at that time. So how's that going to happen?
We don't know.
And it may be divided up internationally. I mean, again, what I'm saying is it may be a Palestinian state, Greg, but the Bible doesn't clearly say so
that.
We don't know. But my point in all this is to say this.
Yeah.
Regardless of the threats and all these things, God supernaturally is protecting the nation of Israel and will continue to do so.
Yes. All right, let's come back to America for a moment.
On the boats and on the plane.
This is an interesting article. This is from Fox News. It says the Democratic Party embraces non-religious voters, criticizes religious liberty in a new resolution. So criticizing freedom, I don't understand. Explain this to us.
Well, it really is where we're going. Remember, Greg, for the world to fall under the command of a world leader, we have to give up rights and liberties and freedom. And sadly, the leading party in that is the Democratic Party. This is non-political. That's a factual statement. They're the ones turning over. They're wanting to do away with the borders, wanting to, you know, all these things. So it's heading that way. But this is the same kind of thing. This is really interesting because it's not just, you know, we're not going to be godly. It's like we're going to recognize those who are ungodly and we're going to honor them. So it's going to step beyond. The Democratic National Committee, DNC, passed a resolution Saturday praising the values of, look at these politically correct words, the religiously unaffiliated. Basically, you're not a believer, an atheist. Americans, as the largest group, they're the largest religious group within the Democratic Party. Now, that says it all right there.
Yeah.
The largest religious group within the Democratic Party is a group of unbeliever atheists. Why do they even call them religious? I don't get the religious use of the word there.
Well, we talked about an article a couple of weeks ago, the religious nuns. You know, N-O-N-E-S.
Yes.
So being the largest, if you could group people in denominations for statistics purposes, the largest denomination are those that have no religious affiliation.
It's amazing. And here's the thing. Again, I want our Christians to hear this. The largest portion that is made up within the Democratic Party. That is a statement. Just be aware of that. Be aware of who you're siding with. And this is, again, this is spiritual. This, I'm talking biblically. Make sure who you're linking up with. The resolution, which was unanimously passed at the DNC summer meeting on August 12th in San Francisco, was championed by the Secular Coalition of America, an organization that lobbies on behalf of atheists, agnostics, humanists on the public policy. Basically, the most rebellious to God. They're a lobby for the most rebellious to God. The group celebrated the DNC's move as the first time a major party embraced American non-believers. Basically, the Democratic Party say, we want people that hate God in our party. Religiously unaffiliated Americans overwhelmingly share the Democratic Party's values, the resolution says, which adds that they should advocate for rational public policy based on sound science and universal humanistic values. And now listen to this statement. I left this in an unbelievably false statement here. And I quote, America was founded as a secular government charged with representing and protecting the freedoms of people and of all faiths, Levin added. I'm proud to see the Democratic Party take that to heart by bringing secular Americans into the fold. Let me say this.
That's a Jew speaking,
is it not? Here's the bottom line. America was founded to protect all faiths and give all rights, but America was not founded as a secular government. America, by the founding fathers, they themselves said, we established our government on Isaiah 33, where it says, you know, talks about the three branches of government.
God is the lawmaker, judge, and...
And king.
King,
you have king, king, lawmaker, the king was the
so
president,
legislative, judicial,
lawmaker,
and
the yes,
executive.
Congress, there you go. And that's where we got it. And they even said in their own writings, there's no way this government will ever work if we don't base it on the Bible.
Exactly.
It was not, so to make a statement like this, no, I would re-say that America was founded as a Christian nation. that does give freedom to all beliefs and faiths. But it wasn't founded as a secular nation. The evidence just proves that flatly false.
Yeah.
In 2012, the last election, Democrats won. A headline for the convention read, when they won the election, Democrats boo God. In 2016, they heckled the preacher during the opening prayer at the DNC. On Saturday, Democrats took a shot at believers who use religious liberty to threaten civil rights of the LGBTQ Americans. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, that's crazy, From Religion, I'm free, everybody's free from it, you don't have to come to God. Annie Laurie Gaylor called the resolution a political landmark that is long overdue. This is truly, Greg, a picture of the rebellion of mankind shaking their fist at God in heaven. And sadly, it's taking up camp and being accepted in one of our major political parties. Christians, be aware of this. Just be aware. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Wow.
Monday, Monday, Monday.
All right. One World Economy News. This is from AP Network News. It's another weird one, too. As global economic picture dims, solutions seem out of reach.
Yeah. Now, before I even read any of this, yeah, Greg, lay some foundation here. The global outlook for America has been getting better and better and better. Although there will be something that will unite the world economically, and I do believe there'll be a thriving of the world when the Antichrist comes on the scene. It appears that way in Scripture. However, I think you're going to see a lot of articles starting from this point on that talk about the economy going south because it is a political ploy to get President Trump out of office. Now, I don't know what the real facts are, but I know this. You're starting to see it. They know that if they can get the economy to look bad or in any way drop down, they're even hoping the economy drops. This is a political attempt to bring the president down. So I wanted to leave this in here to give you the idea that don't believe everything you read. As we talked about previously, Abraham Lincoln said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. But as listen to what it says, as global leaders gather on two continents to take account of a darkening economic outlook. Well, who said it's darkening? This is the picture they face. Now, again, we're talking about global, so there's a difference here. Factories are slumping, not in America. Many businesses are paralyzed, not in America. Global growth is sputtering. That is true. On the world's two mightiest economies in the grip of the dangerous trade war. Barely a year after most of the world's major countries were enjoying an unusual moment of shared prosperity, the global economy, suddenly as election time is approaching, may be at risk. Now, I added that, but that's exactly what's happening. As the election gets closer, you're going to see more of these articles. I would say this, as a believer, don't worry. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Trust God. He'll take care of you. Don't be afraid. I believe a lot of this is simply politics trying to remove the president. But at the same time, we know there's going to be a shakeup in the world in every area, economically, politically, religiously, and that's part of unifying the world. So that was more of a just honorable mention. Keep it in there. Keep your eye on it. But realize there's going to be a lot of politics blended into the news headlines over the next year and a half.
Yeah. All right, let's get some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption in here. We kind of touched on this in the first half. With regard to climate change, and this right. One will be used in that way as well. This is from ChristianHeadlines.com. Of course, you're watching the news. It's all over. The Amazon rainforest is on fire and burning at an alarming rate. You know what I thought was interesting, too, is that, what was it, a bunch of world leaders had pledged to give, I don't know, was it $30 billion or $30 million or whatever. It was a lot of money. And Brazil refused it.
Yeah.
Saying the money could be better used elsewhere.
Well, also, it had to do with the attitude that it was given. Bosneros, again, that's the leader there, said that there was a very arrogant, condescending, almost like taking over. You better do this. We're going to make you, and here's the money, and here, good little boy, go do your job. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? You keep your money.
Keep your money.
So it had to do, I think, with probably a little bit of pandering, and at the same time, just saying, hey, fires happen.
Yeah.
Fires happen. Matter of fact, there's fires burning is part of God's way of cleaning up. Yeah. Certain regions, and we see regular fires. But this is a big fire. Latin America rainforest has seen 84% increase in wildfires this year. Using satellites, the National Institute for Space Research indicated the uptick with more than 70,000 fires this year, the highest number since record began in 2013. Now, remember, we are going to see the earth groaning more and more as we get toward the end, so you're going to see more of this. I didn't realize this. This is interesting. Many experts estimate more than 11.5 soccer fields of rainforests are burning every minute, every day. Here's what I didn't realize. The rainforest provides 20% of the oxygen of the Earth's atmosphere. And I wonder if that's really true or if this is part of the climate agenda. But either way, that's pretty amazing.
It's a pretty dense forest.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It is seen as a key weapon in the fight against global warming. Just a little alert to the world, and I quote, the sky randomly turned dark today in Sao Paulo, And meteorologists believe it's smoke from the fires burning thousands of kilometers away in Rondonia and Paraguay. Imagine how much has been burning to create that much smoke. Again, this was in the New York Times. Yeah. Shannon Sims tweeted, activists believe Brazil's president, which, by the way, is a strong believer. He's an evangelical. Jair, I'm not saying his name right or not, Jair Bolsonaro, is largely to blame, they say, for the spreading wildfires. Again, he's being attacked because this is a spiritual battle here. Reportedly, head of the INPE, Ricardo Galvão, was fired earlier this month after he reported the growing fires. And I quote, there should be no control by the federal government on the freedom of speech of scientists to say what their science is compelling them to say. No, his politics was having him say that it's the president's, the leader's fault. They're in Brazil, and they're blaming him. And again, this is all a spiritual attack against him. They're mad because he won't do what they want him to do. And the bottom line, God's in control. I'm not saying we don't try to control the fires and do this.
Put the fires out.
But part of fires burning is a part of nature's way of cleansing the forest. I know this is a huge fire. I get that. But again, there's going to be an overreaction by the climate people. And it's going to be worse because a Christian's leading that region. And then their arrogance, he shoots them down. So this is quite an interesting thing to watch. We'll watch this unfold over the next little bit of time. Hopefully the fire does get put out.
Yes. All right, let's get to some church articles as we wind down this episode of Signs of the Times. This is from NBC News. This is so bizarre. With attendance plummeting, church turns to a new solution. Carnival rides.
Yeah, this is so sad.
I mean, really?
Let me read some of this and we'll talk about, Greg, this has already been going on, but it's getting more. When a place of worship has stood for almost a millennium, it would be easy to be skeptical about claims that it now includes a never-before-seen attraction. The huge carnival slide parked in the nave of Norwich's ancient cathedral looks like it falls into that category. The first to christen the ride in early August, this is like so ridiculous. The first to christen the ride in early August was the very Reverend Jane Hedges. Again, like how they have these huge titles. The very, not just Reverend, but very Reverend. Dean of the cathedral who slid down amidst the bright lights and vibrant colors. Quite a show, I'm sure. At least four times in the space of 15 minutes, all white wearing her traditional vestments. I'm sorry, all the while wearing her traditional vestments. The organist blasted along an accompaniment. So you got like these kind of hymns going on and this lady in a robe sliding down this thing, you know. And I quote, our hope is that it will bring a very different audience into the cathedral. It will. She said, flushed with a little breathless, flushed and a little breathless from the rides. I mean, look around now. There's a lot of young people. Along with Norwich Cathedral, which is 120 miles northeast of London, Rochester Cathedral, 37 miles south of London, also got in on the act by installing a miniature golf course. So we're going to church, but we're going to play putt-putt, and we're going to ride slides during the service. I think it's great, she said, as the squeals from the slide echoed off the fabled walls, and other tourists lay on yoga mats nearby to stare at the ceiling. I mean, it will leave people wanting more and having a different expectation from church, Wong said. I mean, this year it's a slide. What's next? Yeah, but a different expectation. Yes, something other than God. And it's interesting, Greg, he says, I mean, yeah, this year we have a slide. What next? Then it says, at the side of the church, a small model dinosaur display already answers the next question. As next summer, the nave of the cathedral will host the enormous 72-foot-long skeleton of Dippy, the Diplodocus. On loan from London's Natural History Museum. Here's the bottom line. The Spirit of God has left this cathedral. God is not there. And like many other churches and cathedrals, rather than repenting and inviting the Spirit of God to come back and fill them so that God will draw people there, they're turning to entertainment. And Greg, you know, the Bible talks about in the last days, they will heap up those having itching ears. And that is, in other words, I'll give the people what they want. What do the people want? What can we do to the flesh and for the flesh to get them in here? God doesn't operate that way. God operates by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And it's because God's Spirit is gone that they're having to use these literally carnival acts, carnival events, putt-putts and everything else to get people to come to church. And I see a lot of churches in America, you know, they'll have their, whatever it might be, they're rocking, rock and roll night, and the pastor playing a guitar and inviting everybody to church, and it's really just an entertainment event. Like, where's God in this? And I'm not saying the church can't have fun, but if we're only trying to draw people in by our You know, playing a rock and roll song at the beginning that has nothing to do with God, or having slides out in the parking lot, or you know, secular movies with free popcorn, that's no different than the world. Listen, the world's doing that, and the world is always going to do a better job at that than we can. Let's be faithful in season and out of season to preach the word, to teach the word of God. You know, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And it's sad when I see this, Greg, because again, it's this, they're trying to make up in the flesh what they've lost in the spirit. It's like in Galatians, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, are you going to now finish in the flesh what was begun in the spirit?" And many are trying to do that. It's sad.
Pastor Mark, speaking of repenting, this is from ChristianNews.net out of Redding, California, where Bethel Church is headquartered. Bethel Church is suggesting that LGBTQ plus people who feel fulfilled and happy as you are don't need to change or repent.
Yeah, you know, Bethel Church has produced some very good worship. They're one of the most popular worship churches in America right now, and they have some really, really great worship music out there. But they have veered away, sadly, from the scriptures. And rather than holding to the scriptures, they're getting into all these experiential, emotional experiences that cannot be validated in scripture and cannot be found in scripture. And so they've made themselves subjective to, in some cases, they're just foolishness. In other cases, I think maybe even demonic influence. Bethel Church, led by Bill Johnson, is raising new concerns after it posted to its Facebook page on Thursday that its program for those who struggle with homosexuality has never been a message that all must change, suggesting that those who feel fulfilled and happy, and I quote, "those who feel fulfilled and happy as they are," end quote, aren't required by God to repent. Bethel has raised many concerns over the years for its unorthodox teachings and practices, such as grave soaking and the purported sightings of falling gold dust and feathers during their service. They say that in some services they see feathers falling that are spiritual feathers. They say this gold dust falls that is spiritual gold dust. Again, none of this is found in the Bible, and yet they say it's a part of something God, the supernatural. And Greg, and I'll read some more in a moment, the grave soaking thing. Again, the Bible does say that when the prophets died, that their, even their bones did emanate power for a time after that, because God had anointed them, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and a special power for a special season, because the prophets were the only spokesmen to God. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. But they're teaching now that anyone that was ever used of God will have this emanating power, and so we just go and lay on their grave or hug their tombstone or stay as close as we can, and almost like soaking in radiation, we're going to receive their power. They call it grave soaking. And they quote, "God loves all people," which is true, LGBTQ and straight. "The message of changed," and that's their new ministry, "has never been," or their ministry, "has never been about all must change," it wrote. "We share these stories specifically for Christians who are unfulfilled and identifying as homosexual community." So they're saying that they're Christians identifying in the homosexual community. Again, you can't be that. The Bible says you have to repent. The Bible says that those that do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not about God not loving them. God loves them very much.
He went to the cross for all men.
Yes, but there has to be repentance. And that sin, the sin has to be acknowledged. Then the sin has to be paid for in order to go to heaven. And so they're saying, no, don't worry about it. "For those of you who feel fulfilled and happy as you are in the LGBT community, we love you." Now, again, it's a little tricky there because they didn't say you're okay. They said, "we love you." So I want to be careful and not put too much on this, and you know, because they didn't come right out and say, "we think you're going to heaven." They didn't go that far. They're just declaring that they love them, but it gives the attitude that, you know what, don't worry about it. Continue on as you are. We can't continue on as we are. We have to repent. And they make a true statement here, but they're missing the point. Listen to what it says, and I quote, "God doesn't force people to change, including Christians. Shouldn't try to force others to change." God didn't force anybody to change, but God says if you don't repent, you can't be forgiven. He says, "we stand against any and all forms of shame, manipulation, force, humiliation, or physical harm in ministry or therapy. Changed is a safe space for Christians seeking an alternative to LGBT." Now, that's good, as they follow their faith. So, again, hopefully this is the ultimate goal of them. They want Christians who are being tempted in that area to repent. The problem is they're not saying they need to repent, and they're not saying that, and they're saying that everyone doesn't need to necessarily change, giving the indication that, you know what, the way you're living is okay. Well, here's what I want to say. God loves everyone, regardless of the lifestyle you're living and the sin you're involved in. He loves you. He died for you on a cross, but you have to repent. The Bible says, confess your sin to God, ask him to forgive you of your sin, believe that he died for you on the cross, receive him as Lord and Savior, and the Bible says you will be born again. But that's a message the church can't lose. We accept everyone, and God loves everyone, but we all must repent, or we will not be accepted into the kingdom of God. And sadly, I think that's what they're not standing firmly on in this particular ministry here at Bethel.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Mark, thank you. Folks, don't forget our website, thesigns.org. You can read the articles that we discussed today and a couple that we did not get to today, but we encourage you to go see all of those things for yourself because they all point to signs of the times. And we're going to have more of those next Friday at 1:30, so make sure you come back then. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday.